Blog Talk Radio.
All right, it's April 3rd. Can you believe Tiger Baseball starts up in just a few days, folks? Huh? Huh? Yeah. Tiger. I've been waiting for this all year. Well, not all year. Well, yeah, all year. January.
I thought that got blew back because of the strike.
No. What they did is they're going to double up on doubleheaders, Jimmy. They're going to double up on doubleheaders, and they're going to play 162 games, and the full schedule will be played. So, yeah, I thought they were going to. I was with you because they were talking about not doing the full schedule, but, yeah, they're going to do it. Starts this week, folks.
And they cut camp short, too.
Yeah.
Training camp short.
Yeah, so, right.
That's where they made the top. They're professionals. They get paid to play. They're pull some muscles, boys.
Okay. Sounds all right to me. Jimmy, pull some fucking muscles. All right.
God loves pulling his muscle.
You damn right I do, and don't you forget it. All right. Before go ahead, 313. I know you've got something else to say.
Walking tall, I'm carrying a small stick.
Before we get the women pissed off, let's get Adrian on here, and you guys start the show. We're rolling.
Good evening.
Hey,
hi, how's everyone? And you sure that they're going to start playing Friday? Because they're having trouble with housekeeping and some other people.
Uh-oh.
It's Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
It's Friday.
Yeah. I don't know if they got that together yet.
Oh.
God forbid they have a dirty dugout.
It ain't like those are the cleanest restrooms in the world either.
Hey, I remember pissing in a trough at Tiger Stadium. Don't tell me about dirty bathrooms. If I can put up with it, they can
over
put up.
Over ice, Don. Do you remember that? Over ice on a hot day.
You're right. I forgot about the ice. Oh.
Yeah, I remember. It was refreshing.
Well, the show is officially went to the pisser.
Yeah.
Your meaning's on the rocks, ain't it?
That was good, Jimmy. I forgot all about the ice. I do remember that on a Saturday afternoon.
Don't drink lemonade, folks. Don't drink lemonade.
Yeah, please. Please take your child to the bathroom, too, for more reasons than...
That's right. Didn't he, Don?
Yeah.
Well, Frank Zappa, don't you eat that yellow snow.
That's there right. That's what he said.
Uncle Jimmy. He won't set you wrong, man. Well, listen to Uncle Jimmy.
I like that other song. It's called Billy in the Mountain.
I got to put my mic on mute. You guys are killing
me. Folks, we had an interesting week last week. You will realize the one... VP that pled guilty and all that shit, the slippery one. I believe he got his ankle bracelet last week, adding to the list. Only the only difference was is really actually I think he's the first one on the union side that was actually found guilty because all the other ones just flat ass pled guilty. I could be wrong there.
No,
all the rest did plead guilty.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I thought some pled guilty. I'm not sure. I'll have to go back.
Well, they made deals. That's how they didn't get no real time.
Right.
Because they fell under the RICO laws. And that's
yeah.
5 years per
he
count.
He was found guilty.
Yeah, we'll let
right.
you keep the pension. You tell on your coworkers. We'll let you keep the pension.
The snitch.
Yeah.
Let you keep your pension, and like I say, you don't get no real jail time.
Exactly.
For all those millions of dollars that you stole from the membership.
You know, I got...
And how they're getting to collect their pension. Think about that one, people.
We're
just speaking of a UAW pension.
Yeah. Yeah, UAW.
Yeah.
Not
we have to make that clear.
Yeah, we can't touch the... if you work
the
Ford. Yeah, you still get your Ford pension. General Motors, Chrysler. I got some emails that really ripped me a new one about what we're talking about and trying to put our own folks in office instead of going with what the Solidarity House wants us to do.
Oh,
what?
Goodness.
Oh,
yeah.
That's so sad.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting. So I see Curry put out his letter. He's, you know, he's running.
How wonderful.
I'm convinced it's all a smokescreen. They're going to try and keep the one political party system we have.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
well,
yeah, but they're going to add a. I said it before to a couple of people talking, some Union brothers and sisters. We were talking about this after Cindy and Terry put in their notification that they're going to retire.
Mm-hmm.
I know sellout Cindy Estrada is, she's going to be in big trouble as far as reelection, and she knows it. So I'm assuming that's why she did it. She's tied to the old regime. So is Terry. So, I think what they're going to try to do is put some fresh new crony faces in there that nobody really knows too much about or who they're tied to,
yeah.
In hope that they can keep their administration caucus alive.
Yeah, that's a good point. Good point.
Well, that, and there's no guarantee. If Curry wins, then he goes back to the same old game where he gets to a point. So they withdraw their resignation, the smoke screens out, and you got the same shit, a different year. That's been done. I can't tell you how many times where somebody said they're going to retire and they didn't after the convention.
Right. And no one has the right, really, to rip you a new one or anybody on this show. We are individuals with
right.
our own thinking minds. We do not have to go along to get along.
That's right.
There's too much corruption in this union. Now,
well,
we pay dues,
I'm sorry,
just like every member pays dues. You have a right to vote how you want to vote.
Right. One young man, I wrote back and said I was paying union dues before you had pubic hair. Give me no crap, you young punk. And boy, he rolled me back with he got me pretty good. I have to give him that. But these kids, they don't do any investigation. They just listen to what the hell's being told to them at a union meeting on the line. And everybody else is, it reminds me of the moron from New York. And everything he writes, every time there's an election, how he comes out. And he won't come on the show. He's been invited by every one of us. Jimmy, I know, has invited him. Scotty, myself. He won't come on. That's right, Ralphie. He won't come on the show.
There's no assumption of anonymity when he emails you, so throw him out there.
No.
The most, in my humble opinion, and I'm sorry, is he really hurt a dear friend of mine, and God rest her soul, and that would be Teresa Dodge. And for that, I can't stand that piece of shit.
I miss her.
Even though Teresa didn't like me, or Scotty, for that matter, she was great. She was the best researcher.
Yes.
We ever had. And no matter how she thought about us, when it came to the Union, she didn't care. She would tell us information that she's found, whether she liked us or not. So
that's right.
And but these other folks, they're not like that. These young.
She didn't form an opinion, and I always thought she felt that way about me as well. But about 3 weeks before she passed, she asked me to meet her at Leo's Coney Island over there in Flint because she needed a copy of the new contract, National Agreement. I met there with her. I met the most pleasant lady. She told me what that bastard it did to her. And then she was getting a computer and going to her son's house up over by Lansing. And then I heard what happened. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah, I was shocked, too. We met Teresa, Scott, and me, and who was the other guy? I can't think. The other guy had an agenda. He wanted to run for president. He wanted to be the president of the Union. And we found out, because he was trashing Dick, big time trashing Dick. And I told Scott, and we both came to the conclusion right after that little meeting we had that he's gone. And it wasn't a week later he was gone. But he quit. He quit. And he quit the show because he was nothing but BS. And I can't even think of his name. That's how insignificant.
It wasn't Gary, was it?
Who?
Was it Gary?
No. Who was that?
Leroy.
Leroy.
Oh, Leroy McKnight. You know, I've talked about it before a couple of times, actually. And you know, like you said, everyone has the right to have their opinion. But I talked about it, and this last vote proved that the bootlicking cronies can have their opinions and use their same scare tactics, talking the old rhetoric BS that, oh, well, you got to have experience or this, that, and the other. But the fact is those bootlickers are far outnumbered. They lost the one man, one vote referendum by more than 2-1. So the cronies can say all they want.
Right.
They're outnumbered by the rest of the good men and women in the UAW.
There you go.
You know, I ignore their talk. Doesn't faze me a bit. I know their tactics, trying to be little people, you know, who want to raise their voice or have their own opinion. They try to belittle and they try to discredit by saying that, you know, they're the only ones that have the experience and the knowledge because they're in the position. Well, if they've got such great knowledge and experience in the position, why have they been selling us out for the last 30 plus years?
Here.
You know, they're fighting.
They the switchboard, first one. Tell them the first one.
Yeah, if you want to talk, add to the conversation, ask a question, by all means, please press 1 on your keypad, and we'll get you on the show.
Uh-huh. Let me get somebody on right now that we all love is Paul. Paul, welcome.
Greetings, you rabble-rousers.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, Paul.
Hello, Paul.
You're just full of energy tonight.
Yeah, a little hostile tonight.
Not a lot of hot topics.
Well,
I just want to comment about the people that have rolled over. It's been said in the past that there's no honor amongst thieves, and the ones who got to roll over first are the ones that got the best the best sentence. And I think they got off with a lot less than they deserved, but that's the way the feds operate. You get a light sentence if you sell out the people underneath you. The ones that are the most guilty are the ones that got the less sentences.
Right. So you're saying the ones that rolled over avoided the wet spot, huh?
Yep. That's it.
Just saying.
But as far as the upcoming elections are going for their national executive board, what they're counting on is the strength of their political machine. They have a lot of money. Not officially, but in reality, they have management's backing. And they're great at running whisper campaigns behind your back. The things they say in public is nothing compared to what they're saying to people as they go around and campaign against you. Jim and I are well aware of that at the Medal Center. They never put out any literature at all. They just go around, they send their appointees out, and they talk about things that are totally irrelevant. But they're very effective at it.
Me about putting your picture up in the guard shack with a wanted poster of you. That was pretty cool. I wanted that for my scrapbook.
Yeah.
All right. I just got an email from, I can't say. He said don't say, so I won't say. But he's right. I should say this about Leroy. Leroy didn't like what was going on either. Although we didn't agree with it, he didn't tell us he was going to run. We assumed he was going to run. And he didn't like what was going on either. And that is absolutely true. And I'll back that up. Didn't think he was a good fit for the show is all. That's all.
Well, you know, one of the things that has been really getting on my nerves lately, you know, all these bootlickers and the administration caucus, that I've seen a lot of posting about union history, and there was one post that was made by Region 1 Director James Harris, and I actually had to comment on the Region 1 page about it because it really irritated me. He talked about how he was a third-generation UAW member and that he's proud of who he is, and he knows that he's standing on the shoulders of giants, is the quote, right? And so I commented on that, and
oh,
I said,
you
well, you know, why don't you get off their shoulders, quit riding their coattails?
Oh.
You're downright wicked.
Our founding fathers paved the way, and they fought, and they made history. And stop riding the coattails, and it's time to start making our own history. Because they can do their whisper campaigns and utilize all the tactics they want. But if any member bothers to just take a look at the fact that we have not had a winning contract in decades, we have had more losses and concessions than ever in all of that proud history that they keep posting.
Yeah. Well, JJ, let me throw this at you, because this is what I also got in the email from one of the people that wrote me, is when I wrote back, I said, not as good as you just said it, but pretty much like you said it. But I added coattails are hard to get to in prison, but I added the prison part. But I said to him, what the hell? Now I see this medicine of mine, folks. I forget. I have memory like a open trap door, like my ex girlfriend. Anyway, continue. If I think about it, I'll let you know. That's how terrible my memory is. Carry on, kid.
Well, the thing is that You know, it's way past time. All, it's great to know our history, and I'm very proud of our history and the leaders that have come forward to fight for the betterment of the workers. But when you post, when the region or the international makes a post and puts up a meme that says, if you like your weekends, thank a union. Well, gee, we're in right. the union, and we don't have weekends off anymore. We've got forced weekends, alternative work schedules. So all of the hard work, 80 years of hard work that our historical leaders fought for improvements has been flushed down the toilet by this regime.
That's right.
So these are facts that if you look at, you should be questioning, yeah, what have you done for me lately?
Yeah, this thing.
For new representation, new leadership, I've met several people across the country that have fire and passion that are capable. And if we give them the chance, could be that next great historical leader that paves the way for improvements for workers and not concessions.
Right.
I bet that right. Amazon union's not going to work to be more competitive.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to care how competitive Amazon is. The thing is, we are going to, what we need to do to move forward is we need to get all reference to competitiveness removed from our contracts, because we've constantly got a moving target. You know, when you look at the Metal Center, where Jim and I worked, 3,700 people working there in 1998. Then we got our first team concept contract. It was very infant stages of it, but they've worked toward continuous improvement and competitiveness there, and now they got about 500 people working there instead of 3,700. Management will consider themselves to be competitive when they get rid of the last UAW worker. And we need to face up to that's what management's real objective is to exterminate the workforce. They don't want to be competitive. They shy away from being competitive to the Chinese, the Japanese, the Germans, and the Koreans, but they want us to work harder than the people in those plants.
And, you know, Paul, you're absolutely right about that, and there's actual proof that you can look at today, because if they actually compare, if they actually cared about competitiveness, right?
Yeah.
Then why do our CEOs make tens of times more than the CEOs of the
yeah.
other companies that we compete against?
And why do we have more layers of management than our competitors do? You know, if they talk about competitiveness, why aren't they trying to compete in the small car market and the medium-sized car market? They only want to compete in the most lucrative markets. And what that means, they're willing to shed workers.
They set a record this year. I don't know if you guys are right about that, but they're poised to set a new sales record for gas-efficient vehicles. Why? We don't make any.
Amazing.
And we could.
Yeah.
And we absolutely could.
Oh, absolutely we could. And now that they're paying these kids $15 an hour, $16 an hour, and they're saying, you know, before they couldn't make a profit, well, I think they could make a damn good product if they put out a damn good vehicle. But you can't put out Vegas and expect to have market share.
Yeah. Hey, my Vega got 31 miles per gallon back then.
I did, too. Mine did, too.
Oh, it was a piece of junk, but it had good gas mileage.
You're right.
The thing is, we got into this competitiveness agreement to save plants and save jobs. You know, whether you like Ronald Reagan or not, he had made this statement, but to trust but verify. You know, our union trust management, but they don't verify that the agreement's working the way it was supposed to work. You know, competitiveness on our part was supposed to keep our plants open.
Trust and verify.
Well,
I remember that.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
well,
the other thing, too.
Well, people in international. Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Gary. Go ahead, Gary.
The people in international, when concessions were made and this tiered system was implemented, do they have the same thing going on in international? I mean, did they have to take concessions? Are most of them tiered now?
No. Back then, nobody even knew about all the different pensions, if you want to know the honest truth, Gary.
No, they didn't. I didn't even know it. I didn't know it that they got two pensions.
They get a lot
and
more
if you
than
wanna, and if you want to know what they negotiate for themselves, you better find the vault it's in, because even if you contact the FBI and ask them where that is, like I did, I said, well, where is their contract? Because none of us members see it.
Oh.
It should be transparent. Oh, well, we can't, you know, that's union business.
Yeah, union business, right?
I have a copy of that fucker in my hand, and I lost it at Dick's house. But, yeah, it's called the agreement with the UAW Staff Council, and apparently they somehow sit down and look at themselves in a mirror and negotiate. I don't know who they negotiate this contract with other than themselves.
Yeah. Well, they had a hell of a medical Blue Cross and Blue Shield, didn't they? They had as good as the President of the United States.
Yeah. By the way, they sit down and bargain the staff council agreement with international leadership. Then when it comes to convention, all the staff council members vote for pay raises for the international leadership. So
their insurance was unreal. He was allowed no copays. He could go all the way to and get dentures, a chiropractor, no copay. He was allowed two pair of prescription glasses a year and two pair of prescription sunglasses a year with zero. I mean, zero isn't a copay. He did have to pay the office call at the optometrist. I remember that, and he bitched about that.
Well, Jim, you got to realize they need chiropractic care because sitting in a chair is hard on your back.
No, hold on.
Didn't you realize that was justified?
Hold on.
No, I was playing golf.
Your kid couldn't get dentures. Your kid couldn't get braces, but their kid started. That's what I'm saying. They had double standards all the way along, and we never knew that, just like I never knew until after Dick passed away that he got. I knew he got the two pensions, the GM pension, the UAW, but I didn't know he got the Saturn pension.
Well, Jim,
those are things I found out that probably I wasn't supposed to find out.
Well, that's why they destroyed the New Directions movement. Because Dave Yutaw used to publish that stuff in the 90s, how they got double pensions and what the staff council's agreement was. Because your Uncle Dick fed that to Yutaw.
You know, with Dick. Dick told me about the, he didn't, you know, and he knew he made a mistake. I said, if you earned it, I don't give a damn how much you make, how many pensions you get, if you earned it. And Dick earned it, as far as I'm concerned. And when he got out of Detroit, he tried his damnedest to help people, and he did. He helped a hell of a lot of people.
Right.
So, that's one guy that absolutely earned his pensions and his money and his benefits, and I don't have no complaint about Dick, because he was on this show I don't know how many years that we've been doing. This is going on the 18th year of Blog Talk Radio, believe it or not.
He was well over. His biggest regret was when he took on Jokic, and him and Jokic had an agreement that he was going to get to come home from Saturn and go up to Black Lake and teach.
Yeah.
Jokic had no intention of not letting that man ever teach us all that shit because he knew what he was going to do, in my humble opinion.
Oh, you're right about that. He would have been a hell of a teacher, one hell of a teacher. And he taught us a hell of a lot. You know that. He did madder than blazes at me. And I remember the last time I talked to him on a Saturday before the show. Remember that, Jimmy? You were in a room. You called me. You were in his hospital room.
I got that tape. Sorry, actually, my wife has that recording of that phone call.
And she can listen to that. And he told me, he said, don't stop doing the show. Don't stop doing the show. And I'm thinking, why is he telling me that? He's going to be back on this. And I said, we're just waiting for you to get back, you know, because we sure as hell missed him. It was like a boat without a rudder. And
he died
just a few days later.
You know what, Don?
Yes.
I thank God for this show because for the longest time, I thought there was something maybe wrong with me.
Well, there is, Terry.
I'll right about
that. Was that in the form of emotion?
No, it's like the VB that we gave her.
What'd you say? I know where you work. Knock it off. Don't make
Go
me.
Go ahead, Terry.
But, I mean, I really knew, you know, was like, there's something so wrong with this. It's also, from when I hired in, it's also backwards. And it just kept getting more backwards. And it's refreshing to find that there are like minds out there.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad that you continue to do this show. And now that you have your Facebook, there's a Facebook page. Because we're at a really critical time here. If things don't change,
you're right.
I do want to say thank you guys for doing this and putting the word out. And
well,
I
thank
just
you.
Appreciate you, all of you guys.
Well, thank you for joining the show because all of you guys are co-hosts to this show. And you always give out good information.
I listen a lot, and I think other people do, too.
Well, we do have a lot of listeners that I know, especially during the strike.
What we got to do is when we tell you – go ahead.
No, go ahead, Jim. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying what we got to understand is when we say something like – right now I hear a lot of things from the tier workers. They were just getting up to their – to jump a tier, but because of what's going on in all these layoffs, they're going backwards instead of forward. Why do you think we told you people to say no? We've been in this business. We know how the highs and lows go, the layout. You know how many times I was laid off from General Motors? I'm not talking about discharged. Laid off.
Yeah.
Laid off.
It was only
I'm
discharged
a
broke
time once.
Time. I was laid. Yeah, exactly. I was laid off like 7 times. You don't ever go with that bullshit.
Paul, you and I hired in 1978. You and I hired in 1978. I believe you got close to breaking time for time, too, because I did.
Yeah.
I got real close. And I started out, and Paul, you got a better memory than I do. It seems like it was $6.60 an hour.
Yeah, it was right around that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you busted your butt, believe me.
Yeah.
You were in the pit.
Yep, I was in the pit with grease and transmission fluid dripping all over me. And I was just a little bit too tall to be in the pit. So every time I was constantly bumping my hard hat against the axles because I was really too tall to be working in the pit. But one thing I remember is that 7 of the first 10 Christmases I was with General Motors, I was laid off.
Yeah.
And this contract set these temps and these tier workers up to be permanent low-wage earners. And I think one of the reasons we have a chance for a big change right now is because of the low wages.
when all this crap started, a lot of the people didn't care, particularly skilled trades, because wages were high and overtime was abundant.
Right.
You know, so you were making great money. A lot of people that hired in the shop just hired in for the money, so they didn't care there was chaos as long as they kept raking it in. But now we have a permanent underclass in the UAW, and they have reason to fight forward. And they need to realize that having one man, one vote is great, but it doesn't really matter if we reelect the same political party that's been controlling the UAW since the 1950s.
Exactly. And I remember being laid off when Roger Smith was president, and we had to go, well, we didn't have to, but we had a vote to give back concessions from the 79, I think it was the 79 contract.
Yep.
And it passed. People voted to give back concessions because Roger said, everybody's going to be back. And of course, I could count the days I was laid off, so I didn't know. I talked to my friend that got me into the plant. He said, vote no, because he's bullshit. He's full of bullshit. He's not going to get you back in the plant any faster if you vote. I said, well, that's all I need to know, and I've been voting no on these contracts ever since. And one kid wrote me and said, are you going to give us $8,000 a year? Or, I mean, every contract? And I said, boy, there's an old show, Dick Dangin put out about how much money we lost. We were retired, but the people who are working lost during a four-year contract by taking that. I think it was 7,000 or something at that time. And how many thousands of dollars they gave back to the company and the union didn't tell anybody about. So, yeah.
Yeah, we need honest contract explanations. We need vigorous debate. They do everything to shut down debate. Now we have management helping them out, like in our last general election where we couldn't campaign. You know, you need to understand that management's got the best union they can buy. You know, they
right.
essentially, in a very legal sense, what they've done is okay, throwing joint funds money at the union, but it functions like a bribe. And, you know, management's going to do everything they can to make sure they continue having the kind of union they want.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And somebody explained to these young people, because two people said, well, when I retire from General Motors, because they both worked at 598, local 598,
mm-hmm.
I'll get a pension from General Motors and I'll get my Social Security too. So I'll be making good money then. I might have to put up with a lot now, but I'll make good money then. I hated to bust his bubble. He's not getting a pension, second of all, if you did get a pension, General Motors cuts it in half.
Right.
And the
right.
rest of, you know, these people think, for the longest time, I didn't know that. I didn't have any idea that you didn't get a full pension from General Motors.
I remember trying to explain that to some higher seniority people when they started doing the buyouts at Ford.
Mm-hmm.
And they would argue me down, and I would tell them, look, I took care of my father's business, and my father retired in 1977. So I know how this goes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When you get Social Security age, which is 62, they will cut that pension by the amount that the Social Security gives. So
naturally,
if you're getting $3,200, that's all you're going to get.
Yeah,
that's all you're going to get.
It's a great setup if you could hire in at 18, retire at 48, and have an early retirement, go on, do something with your life.
Right.
But we actually had a bad pension system – and the union even gave that away.
But you still have to, if you started working at 18 and you retired at 48, you still got to go back to work. It's set up for you not to retire before the age of 55. You have to have 7 continuous quarters in Social Security.
Yeah.
Thank you for pointing that out.
So if you retire at 48, you cut your Social Security down.
Oh, yeah, I understand that. I know what you're saying.
You understand it, but other people don't.
Yeah.
But you get
an option. It's a good system if you wanted to get out of there when you were young and you had a game plan.
You're right. I agree with that because my friend retired, took a buyout, actually. He screwed himself big time. I know everybody but one person because he had a good business on the outside. But everybody that took those buyouts just hosed themselves.
Screwed themselves.
The old boy, they sure did. And
if you didn't have a plan, you sure enough did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of them who were working at Home Depot.
Right.
Yeah. Let me clear the air here. We talk about the union and the carve out of our Social Security money out of our pensions. That far, the UAW does that. The steel workers do not do that. The Teamsters do not. There's a lot of unions that do not have that carve out that the UAW has imposed on this. I want that known too.
That's correct.
The UPS workers don't. They got a great contract.
Well, my father-in-law that delivered packages and things were UPS.
Yeah,
I think
UPS.
He got his full pension, plus he got his Social Security. I think they changed that in the last contract, but he was like grandfathered in.
Yeah.
But, we're the only ones that I know of, and this is a long time ago, at that time that they cut our pension.
Yeah.
I can also tell you that, and I believe the year was, it was either 97 or 98. We had a lot of seniority workers, seniors, that were drawing their pension and still working. They stopped that. It was either 97 or 98. That they stop that.
Yeah.
They can still do that.
No, they cannot at all.
They're 70 years old.
Isn't there a cap?
They cannot draw their pension.
Security at age 70.
They cannot draw their pension and work.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Ford. I can't speak for other companies.
Now hold on. I worked at the Kroger for a while, but there was a limit to how much you could make.
That's correct.
I think it's $18,000 a year is the limit till you turn 70, and then you can make as much as you want.
Yeah, because they figure
they change that language for everybody.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about the language for the pension.
Yeah. No, you
for
can't
the,
work
for the
and
company
draw.
Pension. You cannot continue to work and draw your company pension.
God forbid if the worker ever get ahead.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. That's something.
Don?
Yes.
You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know.
At our plant.
Uh-huh.
There was a very elderly married couple. He was on skilled trades and she was on sanitation.
Right.
He used to go around the parking lots at the end of second shift and pick up beer cans and beer bottles.
Yep.
And they were really old. They were collecting their pension, a paycheck, and their Social Security, and both of them were over 75 years old.
Oh, yeah. There's an old man that he always joined us for lunch outside. Cause on nice days, we'd go outside and get out of the oil and all that. And he was 69, soon to be 70 when I retired, and I found out, talking to a friend of mine, he's still in there working. Still in there. He's up in trim, and he finally got on to quality. He's in the quality department, and he's still working his butt off because they changed some of those quality jobs around.
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
the thing is, they can only work a 70-year-old person just so hard. And people who have been around that long know that management can't force you to do much of anything.
Yeah. There was a old, you guys, I don't know if you guys remember this. She was an old lady. I mean, she was on sanitation, and she took up the numbers. She took up the numbers, and one of the management, somebody in management material, friend of mine, he won, and I mean, he won big, and she didn't pay him, and she retired right away. But her husband, which is even older than she was, he continued working. She wouldn't pay him. I think it was like $25,000. I mean, he hit it straight and everything else. And she disappeared, and he came up and said, Tom came up and said, you know that so-and-so retired?
Here's money.
Your money.
Yeah.
Well, has anybody heard anything about the delegate elections?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing yet. Nothing in our local.
Yeah.
I'd suggest that anyone that wants to run for delegate start getting their information out there.
That's right.
Don't wait.
That's right. Nothing else. Just about yourself and what you believe in.
You Jerry,
know,
are you there?
For a date.
Just inquired about it, and we heard nothing.
What was that?
People is very close to people. I think they're going to put it up in the bulletin board on and on and let the day suffer down and you need to sign your ass. Remember they did that to us, Paul?
Jimmy, I can't hear you. Where are you speaking, buddy?
313, mute your phone.
I was trying to say what they like to do. Watch your bulletin boards. If they put it up in the bulletin board, it's considered a legal posting. And the the days counted down on me and Paul once, and we didn't realize it was legally posted, and then we couldn't sign up to run. Watch. Don't trust these buggers, people.
That's right. And know your election committee, people. If you see them in the building,
mm-hmm.
they're posting.
Yeah. And they have in the truck plant, now I can only say the truck plant, at one point they had moved and reduced the number of posting areas. So there is one downstairs, there used to be one downstairs when you come in the south unit. On it would be coming in, it would be on the right-hand side past the old lunchroom, believe it or not. We had a lunchroom back in the day. And where you all vote, where everybody goes to vote, that's to right past those double doors is there used to be, anyway, a posting area. But
they love to do it at midnight, Sunday, you know, on midnight shift and put the posting in so nobody sees them in there anymore.
We've seen them do that, Jimmy. And we also seen them take things off of people's desks and throw them in a trash can and put their own literature. I seen that. I was helping a friend of mine, Terry Tobias, as a matter of fact, we were helping somebody run. And we stayed after work on second shift and we canvassed body shop and then we moved on through the assembly area. And some dude was going right behind us. And we caught him by the big doors, by the big wall there, Scotty, you know where that's at. And he was throwing everything we put on the desk away, and he had a whole stack of flyers for, of course, the incumbents. He wanted his boys to win, and which was the same people who's been screwing us for years. So. There you go.
Yeah, I hear you. Me and Gunther caught them doing that, and then we found this shit. We could put our poster up on the wall, and we shellacked it up there. They couldn't get it off the wall. They had to get grinders, for Christ's sake. Remember that, Paul?
Oh, yeah. Bob was pretty clever.
I love it. Oh, I love it.
I'd also like to suggest for anyone listening that's a local 600 member, you could always go over to the local, and if you see there's an election room, if you see those doors open, if you see the table sitting out there, because it's posted right across from the election office, you know that they're accepting nominations, your applications.
That might be something
you want to check out, too.
At Jeep, I'm going to be running for delegate because I'm not afraid of the international. And they can't threaten or intimidate me because, well, you guys know that I was in military intelligence, and we've talked and I told you some stories. And so if I don't fear the government, I damn sure ain't going to fear anything from the international.
Amen. Way to go, JJ. Way to go. Now,
so
somebody in our little family is running, too, I believe. But I don't know if I have permission to say who it is. So I won't say. But I think there is another person in our group that is running for delegate.
Everybody should consider it or at least find somebody good to back. Because otherwise, you know, what's the purpose of a show like this?
Yeah.
If we don't take some action.
And I believe that retirees can run for delegate also.
Yeah, they can. I mean, generally what they've done, I don't put anything past them anymore because retirees are eligible to vote and run in the general election, the delegate elections. They always post it in the union newspaper.
Now, can't they run for president, vice president?
I don't think they can run for president. From what I understand, they came up with when Yetaw was making his comeback, they changed the Constitution so you couldn't run for president. I'm talking about local president.
Oh, the local.
Yeah, local.
You can run for the international.
Yep.
Yeah, but you can run for president, vice, you can run for everything over at the hall, being retired.
Yes.
I don't think you can run for president.
Yes.
Oh, because
but
you have
I,
to
I think
to
it depends on the local, because what some of the locals have done, you know, retirees aren't able to be involved in bargaining.
Oh, that's talking about the local. We were just talking about international. They can run for president.
Oh, yeah, you can.
No, you're right about the local.
You have to be an active member. Yeah.
The reason why I'm running for delegate and why it's so important, I don't think everyone realizes how actually important getting strong members who aren't cronies as delegates, because the delegates are the highest authority, and they're the ones who amend the Constitution.
Yeah.
And if we get enough constitutional delegates who aren't cronies, we can shut down the tactics used by the international to silence people who speak up, who want to fight and eliminate the tiers, who want to change the Constitution so that the international can no longer give themselves raises by giving raises to the contracted appointees, right?
Sure.
So we know that their raises are now tied to those negotiations. We can put an end to their tyranny and control and actually start to make positive changes in our Constitution to be able to effectively stomp out the corruption and the cronyism.
Right.
Because then if a motion is made, it gets put to the delegates. And if there's enough delegates to say, yes, let them be heard, then they have to be heard. And then it's put to a vote, and we can put in resolutions like eliminating the tiers because it's been sent up to the international, but it gets voted down by the cronies all the time.
Right.
So that's why they didn't fight against the tier system, this contract. It never made it to the resolution.
Well,
that's at the bargaining convention.
Yeah.
Right.
And it didn't make it there.
Yeah.
Half the resolutions that were turned in were not even spoke on.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so that's why the delegates are so important to vote in the right ones and not vote in the cronies. If you vote in the cronies, it's going to be virtually impossible to make the good changes that we need to help fix and heal our union.
That's right.
Well, if you want to bring a proposal to the floor, you actually have to have a certain amount of delegates that are willing to back it just so we can have discussion on it before a vote.
Right.
You know, it takes
100. Right, and you're absolutely right about that, Paul. In last constitutional convention, it took 148 delegates to let it go forward.
Right.
That's it. Just 148.
Yeah.
And then there's, a little over, there was like 1,900 delegates or something like that total.
Mm-hmm. And you end up with about 20 people that are willing to raise their hand when we tried to bring one man, one vote to the floor. Hardly anybody would back it. We wanted to bring some discussion to the floor about Delphi, when Delphi was going through the bankruptcy and the union was rolling over and we lost, I don't know, something like 20,000 members through the Delphi fiasco. We couldn't get enough people to back the idea of bringing it to the floor for discussion.
Well, just in case you don't know, currently it appears that we have lost 170,000 members, according to Ray Curry.
Since when?
Since last year.
Oh, wow.
Now, don't know, because they say it's approximately 378, but I take it to 380 members. But you don't know what sector.
Yeah.
I mean, it don't give you a breakdown of that.
Yeah.
And it's like, we lost these members. How did we lose all these members?
Yeah.
If you read the thing in the international paper, he quotes a lot of the temporary people are now signing off. Imagine that. They're signing off on being UAW members. God damn, I don't understand that. Can somebody explain that? Why should I pay dues if I ain't going to get anything? I don't get nothing.
Why should they be required to pay dues if they're not represented?
That's the problem that I think exists more than anything.
Right. The old American Revolution started over the idea of taxation without representation.
That's
these
correct.
People are essentially taxed without being represented.
But
well, they
by
have
the
limited
same
representation.
Talking, they
with
weren't
that?
Listening.
Yeah.
They weren't listening. We were trying to explain to them things that were going on, things that could happen to them.
Yeah.
And still, today, they're still really not listening, a lot of them.
Yeah. Well, some of them learn at the School of Hard Knocks.
But we can't afford for you to learn at the School of Hard Knocks. We can't afford that. We can't afford for you to sit up and speak ignorantly.
Sure.
Because you don't take the time. time to listen, nor do you take the time to read.
No.
Well, this is about your job.
A lot of young people don't want to learn from history.
Oh, well.
I like that statement that history doesn't repeat itself, but fools repeat history.
Well, that's why I got in an argument with that one. He goes, why the hell would I want a pension? I'd rather have my own 401k where I control my money. I says, yeah, I had that too. And he goes, what? I says,
right.
The pension was from the company. Don't you understand that? That was their reward to me for being such a good employee. My 401k was if I worked good and saved my money, I could invest some too. And he goes,
yeah.
Huh? You know, like, he didn't believe me.
Yeah. Yeah, some of our coworkers that were high overtime retired as millionaires.
That's correct.
Wasn't, there was a, I saw a gentleman on Facebook, I don't know if it was a TikTok reel or whatever it was, but he said his grandfather walked 10 miles to work. His dad walked 5 miles to work. He drives a Cadillac. His son will drive a Corvette. And his grandson will drive a Ferrari. But his great-grandson will walk again. Because he talks about tough time creates strong men. And strong men know how to work through bad times, right? And he says that's the process. That's how it works, you know. And he went on to say that we need to create warriors for our sons, you know, and our children to be warriors. But the idea was, I could understand what he was saying, that we made it easier for the next generation, easier for the next generation. And then in our case, what our forefathers did in the UAW and where they got us, and look at everything we've given away, and now it's time to fight again, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, a lot of people...
And they never stopped fighting.
Yeah. So-called legacy workers didn't see a reason to fight, but these young people, they make about the same wage they can make in a car wash.
Yep.
Or
as a restaurant cook.
Yep.
And so they don't have anything to lose by fighting back. What's that?
I said you might make more as a restaurant cook.
Yeah. If you're a good one, yeah.
Yeah.
At a good place. You know, there's a lot of high-end restaurants where a waitress can make $30 an hour.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of crazy jobs out there, man. My neighbor's kid, just get this, second year out of high school, thinking about going to trade school, was just offered a job. But he has to go to Arizona. He has to work 20 days straight in Arizona. They will fly him down there. They will fly him home. He's home for 9 days straight. Then they fly him back. They pay for his room and board down there, and he gets $54 an hour, and he told them no.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Is he living with mom and dad?
In the basement. Yeah.
Well, if I'd have been his dad, I'd say, you're living in the street now. If you turn down that kind of offer.
Yeah.
Yeah, that.
Wow.
No, I don't think you could stay in my house.
Not when you turn down a job like that.
No, I don't think so.
Damn.
My ass would be so sore for 2 weeks I couldn't sit down if I'd have ever done that anywhere near my mother or my dad, because my mother knew how to use a switch. My dad knew how to use his foot.
Oh, don't mention switch. I'm from Alabama.
I know that's right.
I know all about them switches when you had to go cut it yourself.
You're right.
I made a mistake of looking for the small, you know, the thinnest one I could find. That was a bad mistake.
Yeah.
My mom's arm
kept
out. my mom's arm never wore
Amen,
out.
Amen, Adrian. My grandma, that's the first thing she said, I want one off that willow tree over there. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah, Yeah, there's some parents that are coddle their kids too much. I came home from college my junior year, and I walked in the door. I hadn't even dropped my bags. My dad looked at me and said, "Get down to Eaton Foundry. They're hiring." He didn't even say hello.
That's right.
We want you out of the house, and we want you out now.
Yep.
Oh, man, that's good.
I hadn't seen my dad in, like, you know, 4 or 5 months.
Oh,
I was going to school in the UP. But there's a lot of parents that are too easy on their kids.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, yes.
It's to their detriment.
Yeah.
Well, brothers and sisters, I'm going to have to say goodnight to y'all. I'm going to have to.
JJ, go get us some A's. Go get us some A's, buddy.
That's right.
I'm working on it.
I know
all
you.
Right.
All right. I got an important phone call. You guys take over. Good night, JJ.
Good night, all.
Good night, JJ.
All right. Good night, JJ. So I got one for you. Excuse me. See what you think of this one. GM names a new Chevrolet boss, creates a new organization with focus on revenue growth. General Motors said Monday, this last Monday, it's creating a new organization to help identify ways to make more money as automakers move into the electric vehicles. The new organization will be called Commercial Growth Strategies and Operations, and it'll be led by a GM veteran and executive, Steve Hill, starting Friday. He has served as vice president for Chevrolet since 2019. And it says the new group will oversee the GM fleet, U.S. sales operations, and EV retail innovation teams, whose leaders will report to Hill. Well, I'm thinking, well, it basically covers everything there, doesn't it? Well, anyway, it goes a little bit further. It says, the new group will work across GM's brands with a focus on vehicle sales to help build the brands and improve GM's position in the market. Additionally, it will help identify ways GM can grow both new businesses and revenues, said the spokesman, Saban Blake. You know, and Mary Barra said it will help double its annual revenues by 2030. I thought to myself, gee, you build a better vehicle, sell for a little bit less, you probably get a lot more of your market share back and make a lot more money.
Yeah.
Just a thought.
Stop exiting niches.
Yeah.
Their idea is, here's how they make more money, sell a $40,000 vehicle for $80,000. That's been their strategy, but it's backfiring on them. They need to build vehicles that are affordable. And they need to compete in every niche instead of just giving away those areas to their competitors.
My concern lies with the UAW. Right now, I don't give a shit what them companies do.
Yeah.
As far as the UAW, and this is something we need to look at, the UAW is acting like it's in the business of being a Kelly service.
You got that right.
Yes,
the
they
UAW
are.
Does not hire anyone except for the staff, the clerical staff or janitorial staff that works for the UAW. They do not do the hiring for these companies.
No.
They are supposed to be bargaining and negotiating for its members.
Right.
But behind the scenes, they have a lot of influence about who does get hired. That's one of the big problems. Too much nepotism.
Yep.
Well, that's a story that they have. They have the nepotism.
Yep.
But by the same token, and you know, I can't speak on, like I said, other companies and the way that they do things. Ford Motor Company has always tried to be family-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
So they're supposed to be generational.
Sure.
If possible.
Yeah.
You put in the names of your relatives,
And if they could be hired, they're supposed to be hired. I can't speak for the rest.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, but that is the way that Ford did operate.
Right.
One of the things that we did find out for years, the UAW elected people, say, at the local level, were putting in their friends and family.
Right.
It wasn't trickled down to the units.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah, finally it got down to the units, but when it got down to the units, they lied. This is where these tiers and the other alphabet soup, SGLI or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Right.
That's when that came in, and that was 2007.
Yeah.
When they did that, we put in names of people to be hired for full-time permanent positions.
Yeah.
And found out after 9 months, oh, you were under a 9-month contract, and we're going to extend your contract. And it was like, what?
Mm-hmm. That's something.
Yeah.
Yeah, and see, that wasn't supposed to happen. And so this is how this tier system, this is what they did.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, and they lied. They lied to all of the seniority people that were trying to get other people in.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And so now, who's taking the fall for that?
That's right.
All of us members are taking the fall for
that's
that.
Right.
Well,
let me break in for a second, Adrian, just for a second before I forget.
Okay.
I got it in front of me, so I shouldn't forget. I don't know if you guys remember Robert Weiss. He was, I think he was the economic advisor for Clinton, if I remember. Robert Weiss, little guy.
Uh-huh.
He sent this to us. If Jeff Bezos can afford to tear down a bridge to let his super yacht pass through, he can afford allowing Amazon workers to unionize. So there you go.
Uh-huh.
Thank you, Mr. By the way, and it flipped over tonight. We've got over 22,000 people following us now. But that's good news, but we did have 50,000 until Twitter.
On Twitter,
for about 30,000 people. But we're back up to, we did have 17. Now we're back up to 22. Slowly we're getting folks back. So,
good.
Yeah. So thank you.
And I want to say I'm behind that. The Staten Island and New York, the JFK 8 warehouse for Amazon did pass their vote to vote to unionize. It will now be known as an independent union known as Amazon Labor Union. The final vote count was 2,645 to 2,131.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's closer than I would I actually didn't think Amazon would ever have a union. We'll see what they do now. We'll see what they do now. In Canada, Walmart voted for a union and they closed it right down. It was a super Walmart. And it was just that one store and they closed that sucker right down. So
this union will be talking about continuous improvement, how they can work with management to work their people harder for less money. This isn't UAW.
So, speaking of UAW, let's come back to this one. Automotive News reported on Friday. You're going to love this one. The UAW in 2021 spent more money on legal fees for fewer officers than it did in 2020. And that's according to the annual financial report filed Thursday with the U.S. Department of Labor. The union disclosed it spent $36,069 on legal fees for President Ray Curry and $113,016 on legal fees for outgoing Vice President Cindy Estrada.
Wow.
Said the union paid out nearly $30,000 in legal fees for four officers. $10,880 for Region 8, Director Mitchell Smith. $10,718 for Region 9A, Director Beverly Brakeman. $6,683 for Curry. And an additional $1,210 for Estrada.
Wow.
You know, we spent $320,912 on Williams, $24,590 on Gary Jones. Said Curry corrected the interport. Curry collected total compensation, including the expenses. Are y'all ready for this? Y'all sitting down? $272,726 in 2021.
Wow. How in the hell did he make that much? Or is that with the benefits?
Well, I don't know what it gets better.
Stock.
Yeah, and it gets better. Estrada, who announced her impending retirement last month, collected a total compensation of $319,321, including the legal fees. Terry Didas, who also announced his retirement, made $238,144. And our Secretary of Treasurer, Frank Thuglin, made $209,842. And Vice President Chuck Browning made $208,924.
They're going to have to get food stamps then. Those low in on a pulling pole.
And how much does the temp make in a year?
It all depends on which temp you're talking about.
We're
talking about the full-time temp, part-time temp, or the short or the permanent temporary.
Oh, that is amazing. Permanent temporary.
Yeah, there's a
what
real
an oxymoron. Yes. Yes, it is. But
okay.
I was just thinking.
I don't. Hold on, Scotty.
This is crazy. All right.
No, just hold on. Some Sassy Angel has to go because she's back off her, about to get off her break. Sassy Angel tweeted this to us, put it in my message board. It says, you don't have periods unless you have a uterus. This is basic biology. And she shows a picture because I guess the lady that's Brown that's going for Supreme Court didn't know what a woman was. Well, they got these guys all in underwear, and they got red spots down where their penis was. That we have periods. Thank you, Sassy Angel. I don't know what plant you're from, but I appreciate it. And that was a good one for me. You had to see the picture.
Oh, I could just imagine.
You know, Adrian, you talked about us not worrying about the business part of it. We kind of have to pay attention what's going on, not just for bargaining, but it's also our viability.
I do get that. Really, I do.
Okay.
But I think we spend too much time in talking about what the company is doing rather than trying to get something together to help the membership to understand what's going
right.
on with them.
Okay.
I'm not
right.
I keep telling you, I don't do marketing for the company because they don't pay me to be in marketing.
Right.
So with that said, they're going to do this so they can make more money. Uh-huh. But that don't mean that I got to work in that particular field.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And if we're make more money, is my workforce going to make more money now too?
Well, see, that's that's where the problem comes in, because they never say anything about the labor force.
Right. You know,
about the company making
and then I find out, I just tell you what some of our leaders down in Detroit are making. ludicrous.
Yeah.
You guys could be making this kind of money and bringing the bang a buck amidst stealing or being involved in some kind of illegal participation. In the meantime, we get pay raises how? You know, the contract.
That cases they're making that money in 4 days a week. I want the membership to know that as well.
Are they doing it in four or three?
Yeah, because most always have a Friday to travel back home, and then Monday's the day to travel there. They are required to do a little bit of work on Monday, so long as they get there before, say, 1 o'clock cocktail hour, they're okay.
Wow.
And then, you know, this is another thing, you know. We often talk about in the 2018 convention, the delegates and the regional directors voted to give them a 31% raise.
Right.
And it's just so mind-boggling that a delegate whose a regular worker to go in and vote for somebody to get a 31% raise and you only get 3%. What makes it so that, oh, don't say that, Adrian, that's nasty. What makes it so that I would believe that I would believe that?
Stop you, Adrian.
Sometimes you have to stop that little pink thing in your mouth from wiggling. But why would I take and give you a 31% raise? Why do I think you're better than me? Why do I, my
right.
body's getting torn up out here on the floor while you sit at a desk twiddling a ink pen or a pencil, talking
on
the phone.
Or getting on a plane to Vegas to have a meeting.
Exactly. You know,
oh,
having the best of steaks at London Chop House, you know, all that kind of stuff. The best of liquors.
And our cigars. Don't forget our cigars.
Right, don't forget the cigars.
I don't know about the 2018 convention, but the four conventions I went to, it wasn't people from off the plant floor that were going there. It was union bureaucrats. Union bureaucrats voting to give international union bureaucrats a raise. And by doing so, they curried favor with international bureaucrats, so when there's a next appointed job coming up, they can get it.
I
or
was at the 2018 convention. I was there.
Yeah.
I was at the 2018 convention.
Yeah.
I know who voted that raise in.
No, my point is, from the conventions I've seen, it's mostly shop committee men, union presidents, financial secretaries, occasional committee man that gets sent to the convention. It's not factory floor workers.
They had some tears. It was a mixed bag of delegates.
Oh, good.
Okay, but they were, a lot of them, don't have an understanding. They don't know the history. They don't have an understanding of that you're voting on things that's against yourself.
Right.
Why do you vote against yourself?
Sure.
And that's the point I was trying to make.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah, it was me.
Apparently, there was a different makeup of delegates at the 2018 convention than what I've seen. Which is good.
It's good, but it's also bad.
Sure.
It's bad if you don't, if you're there thinking that they're going to give you something.
Sure.
And, you know, you don't have any real clout, so to speak.
Yeah.
They're not going to give you nothing. They're just using you.
Right.
Right.
That's what you were there for, to be used.
And don't think on this next constitutional convention coming up that they're not going to ask the same boys and girls to go down there again because they're going to need all the help they can get. So they'll tell them to send the president, send the vice president, send the recording secretary and the financial secretary, and for the backups will be your shop committeeman. Okay? That's what they're going to do again because they want that garnered support from every local down there.
Yeah. Well,
that's what you're running into again.
Most of the people that go there are afraid to offend their regional director or their assistant regional director. My assistant regional director was very miffed when I was the only one out of Region 1C that stood up and said he was voting for Gary Wachowicz for president rather than, who was it, Gary Jones?
I think it was.
Yeah.
Well, it depends. He's ran a couple times.
Probably was Dennis Williams.
Yeah, he ran against Dennis Williams.
Mm-hmm.
But I was the only one that was willing to go against the regional director.
I don't know if a lot of people know that half the time you can't even get a hold of your regional people. You'll call them and they won't call you back.
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, and that's international, too.
Yeah.
So
well, try offending them. They'll know who you are.
Make 31% more than you? Well, I don't know what they're doing for that 31%.
All right.
Screwing over.
Bargaining more concessions to save the company more money.
Yeah. So they can get put on.
We should go down with Terry. When me and Paul walk up, they meet us at the store.
Weren't they all saying we are one down there?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. The 2018 convention was we are one.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
We're one.
Yeah, they told that lie.
Yeah.
Well,
and Mr. Gary Jones, the head of the union.
Right.
Mr. Fallon himself, how dare him stand up there and spout that off. Sick and disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the big question is we're one what?
We might not have been lying.
We're 1 week in confident union.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, absolutely. He might not have been lying at all, guys.
He said that it was just a few bad apples and that whole damn bushel was bad.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, he did.
The
he did
orchard.
Do that. We need some honest, hardworking folks in our solidarity house, and we need folks that are going to take care of us and the workers, especially the workers.
What's sad, Don, is they're trying to brag that they got COLA back for John Deere, but the way they allowed that cap at 4%, that really screwed the membership up, didn't it? Because COLA's got to be 8% out there now.
Right. Yeah.
John Deere only got 10,000 workers. So, at one time we had, like I said, we got 380,000 now. So, take 10,000 off.
Yeah.
So, what you do for the other 370,000?
Nothing, ladies and gentlemen.
Right.
It's about time we're going to say good night. And don't forget Tiger Baseball.
Detroit Tiger Baseball.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. Brought to you by Marathon. Best in the long run. Go. Throw a party today.
And good night, you rabble rousers.
And I did tag
good night,
you.
Paul.
Yep.
I did tag you, Don, with a new article.
Oh, okay.
One day during the week, last week. About that, housekeepers and stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so.
And before we say goodnight, remember, your constitutional delegates, the last one, supported felons that are going to prison in a race. Just saying.
Hey, by the way, Jimmy, you will remember this theme song. If you remember the troughs, you remember this theme song. Mr. Hartwell, I want to make sure they better be playing. And don't break my heart, Adrian. Better not break my heart.
I hope not.
I've been waiting for a long time.
I know you have.
Okay, guys. Yeah, everybody have a great night. Scott, don't work too hard. I know you worked a lot of hours last week, and I don't feel a damn bit sorry for you. So, but, you know, quit calling me about it because I don't want to hear it. And good night, everybody. What's that?
He has full pockets.
Yeah, right. You want to lend us some money, Scotty? We'll be glad to take it. But if not, I got to hear another word out of you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, please be safe. And if you can't be safe, stay home, right?
That's
Adrian?
Right.
Just like
yes.
We do. Yes.
That's
me,
right.
You damn right. We stay home if we can't be safe. And Carrie, JJ, and 313, and all the hee-haw gang. I had to put Carrie in the green room so I could hear her voice without everybody talking.
I know, that's right.
I was singing a thrill on Blueberry Hill. Anyway, have a great night, and we'll talk to you next Sunday night at 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio, the UAW Factory Whisper Show. Good night, everybody. And
good night.
Good night.
Or do your homework. Quit sending me emails like stupid people unless you got something you got to say. And try to learn how to spell. You wouldn't believe how these folks spell. Oh, my God. Zar. T-H-A-R. Zar. Zar's people. Well,
geez.
Phone's ringing. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Night. Good night.